Let's turn now to the Word of God this morning, to the Scripture reading for this morning, which is contained in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, we'll be reading the first 14 verses of this chapter. As we hear the Lord Jesus at the Gospel of Christ and His deeds, hear the Lord Jesus' acts of mercy on the Sabbath day, recorded here in Matthew chapter 12. This is the word of the living God, His holy, inerrant, inspired word. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." He went on from there and entered their synagogue. And a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So they might accuse him. He said to them, "Which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy, like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. Notice in verse 8 how it speaks, "For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." I'm going to talk about the Sabbath this morning. And so the text this morning is the fourth commandment. And I'm just going to read you the Exodus rendition of the commandment. We read from Deuteronomy 5 this morning. But in Exodus, we read these words, Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11, which are the text really this morning. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourners within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Will you turn to the forms and prayers book that you have in front of you in the pews and turn to the Heidelberg Catechism. We're going through the commandments, and so we're up to the fourth commandment, Lord's Day 38, which is found on page 246 in the back area of this of that booklet. Page 246 in the Forms and Prayers book. And notice there's one question and answer there, and I would ask if all of you will respond together by reading the answer. The question is simply, what is God's will for you in the fourth commandment? First, that the gospel ministry and schools for it be maintained, and that, especially on the festive day of rest, I diligently attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to the Lord publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways, let the Lord work in me through His Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. The phrase, "and bring Christian offerings to the poor," reminds me that I should mention to you, since normally we have the offering during this time, that there will be an offering received at the end, at the exits. You can place your offerings there, and they are for the Walker Ministries, for the needs of the congregation. May the Lord bless us now as we consider this morning the message of His holy word. And people of God, in the routine of our lives, it is good that we also have certain times and days which are not just ordinary and routine. In fact, if every day were exactly the same as the day before it, week in, week out, our lives would soon become monotonous, perhaps even meaningless, or we might say dreary and weary. I happen to live next to a dairy farm, and every time that I walk or drive past it, I see the cows standing there quietly looking around. In the morning, they trudge into the milking barn to give their milk. In the late afternoon, they trudge back into the barn again to give some more milk. And the rest of the time, they eat and stand and walk a little and look around. That's their life, day after day, month after month, year after year. Except in between, they do get some dry time to produce another calf so they can continue to give their milk. Well, sometimes I think, you know, what an easy life. No worries, no cares. As Jesus also said one time about the birds of the air, they have no worries or anxieties. But now we are human beings. We are not animals. We are created in the image of God Himself. And so we need more than rote routine in our lives. To be sure, there is a certain sameness in our lives too, especially if our jobs happen to be very routine. Indeed, most people like some regularity. Routine isn't all bad. Also has a good side to it. Even so, we do need a break from our daily routine so that we don't become thoughtless and unmotivated machines. And also because of this reason, we do need rest and relief from our daily tasks. And therefore, God has created or ordained for us special days for our lives. And the greatest of those special days is today, the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, Sunday, which also comes with a certain regularity every week. For every week, we need this special day to refresh and to renew and to refocus our earthly lives. And so, as we just sang before our scripture reading this morning, this is the day of all the week the best, the emblem of our eternal rest. But now, did you catch in my sermon title, which quotes that song phrase, that I put a question mark behind this phrase, as well as an exclamation point. And the question mark is there because I wonder sometimes, is it indeed true of us that today is still the day of all the week the best? Is that how you feel about the Lord's Day? Or may some of us have fallen into the mentality of our age, where this is just another day, and there's nothing really special about it. Have we become perhaps so engrossed in the activities of our daily lives, so enamored of our earthly pleasures, that Sunday is no longer day of all the week the best for us? Maybe some of you like Saturday better than Sunday. Well, this morning, we're to consider another of God's Ten Commandments, namely the Fourth Commandment. And in it, God reminds us of the importance of setting aside one day out of each seven as a special day. And that's why He commanded us, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. And as we hope to see this morning, this day is indeed a great blessing. And to see that, let's first of all this morning then look at the foundation and the reason God gave us this commandment. And then secondly, we will turn to the observance of this commandment, how we are to keep this special day as a holy day. But now first this morning, we should note that this commandment has a unique foundation and reason which underlies it and explains it, why God gave it to us. And that foundation is given in the last part of this commandment, as set forth in Exodus 20, verse 11. There it says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Now, it's a significant statement here. It indicates, you see, that the Sabbath day is rooted in what God did at the time of creation, when He first made this universe. When God created this world, He also created time. And specifically, God divided time into segments. He divided it into years, according to the rotation of the earth around the sun. And then He divided those years into days, according to the rotation of the earth on its own axis. And then He divided these days also into weeks. And God did all this very purposely. He has a design in all of His deeds. And a further part of His design was that God did His creative work in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. We read that, as you know, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, which say, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God finished." Other translations say more precisely, "had finished." God had finished His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the Sabbath day, seventh day, and made it holy, because on it God rested from all His work that He had done in creation. Now here you see God set the pattern for the life of man and woman, whom He had created on the sixth day to be His image bearers, to be like Him. They were to do their work too in 6 days and then rest on the seventh day. There you have the reason. There you have the beginning, actually, of the Sabbath day. It was established by God at creation. The word Sabbath, which is what the seventh day came to be called in the rest of Scripture, is really derived from a Hebrew verb which means to cease or to rest. People sometimes, you know, have asked, did God need to rest on the seventh day after He had made the world the previous 6 days? I mean, did God get tired from doing that work? It seems like God would never get tired, that God is unlimited in His strength. And indeed, His body is not subject to weaknesses or to limited endurance. In His case, what Scripture means when it says that God rested on the seventh day from all His work is that He ceased. He ceased from His work of creation after those 6 days of creation mentioned in Genesis 1. God is still at work all the time. When Jesus was confronted one time for healing a man on the Sabbath, similar to the case we read this morning in Matthew 12, but another time He told the Jews in John 5:17, but Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." God is continuously working to uphold this universe, directing all the events that happen in this world from day to day. But you see, the point is that God ordained a pattern for man, for his daily life and weekly life, from the time of creation. For unlike God, man does need a pattern to follow, including doing his work for 6 days and resting on the seventh day. Man is not unlimited in his strength. I'm convinced you know that that was true also for Adam and Eve after God created them and placed them in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 2 verse 15 tells us the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. So God did not create man and woman to be lazy, to sit in easy chairs and to just look around and do nothing. Yes, even if the creation God had placed them in was perfect, God still had a task for man to do, to work and to maintain the garden. He had given man dominion, after all, over the earth. That's why the fourth commandment also includes a command for us to work. Don't forget that. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But no doubt Adam and Eve also needed a day of rest in the garden, though it isn't specifically mentioned in Scripture. And certainly after the fall of man into sin, when his labor became, Scripture says, difficult and toilsome, man then certainly needed a weekly day of rest. Even though, again, that there is no mention of the Sabbath day of rest in the book of Genesis, and how faithfully ancient peoples observed this pattern. The first mention of a Sabbath day is in Exodus 16, where Moses told the people to collect a double portion of manna on the sixth day, for God would not send any manna on the seventh day. And so there was a Sabbath observance before God gave his commandments on Mount Sinai. But notice how God begins then that fourth commandment. Remember, he says, the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Yes, the people were called to remember this pattern that God already had established at creation of resting on the seventh day after working for 6 days. This is a creation ordinance. This applies really to all people. And we still see, therefore, some recognition of that in our society, that there is one day of the week, Sunday, when many activities, many companies, much work halts on that day. Factories, workplaces, offices are still many closed on Sundays. I realize also, as we'll know pretty soon, that this whole pattern has and continues to change today. The Sabbath is increasingly ignored or violated in our society and world. But there is still an awareness among non-Christians as well as Christians that a day of rest is needed and important for all human beings because it is rooted in creation. However, then we should note that there is also now another reason for this Sabbath day, one that has come about because of the fall of man, which we as Christians should be particularly mindful of. The Sabbath is also necessary as a remembrance of God's salvation. And that reason is indicated more specifically in the version of the fourth commandment, which we find in Deuteronomy chapter 5. That's why I read aloud this morning, as I do other times too, from Deuteronomy 5, where Moses repeated it for Israel just before they would enter into the promised land of Canaan. But in this recital, interestingly, of the Ten Commandments, Moses added this statement to the fourth commandment. You shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Now, there you see is another reason indicated for the importance of this day. Israel is not only to remember God's act of creation and his work in creation, but his redeeming work as well in Christ. He had delivered them from their Egyptian bondage. They should always remember his great salvation, especially on the Sabbath day. And for God's people today, for us today, that means God has ordained this day for us as a remembrance of his true and final and greatest work of salvation, his deliverance of his people from the bondage of sin and Satan through the redeeming work of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it is so important for us to always remember what Christ has done for our salvation. That now we observe a Sabbath day on the first day of the week, in fact, which we call Sunday. There's been a change, not in the commandment as such, but in the day it is observed, the day of rest. Why do we observe this day now on the first day of the week? I think many of you know the reason. It's because Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week, by which he sealed our salvation that he earned on the cross. Christ has ushered in a new week, a new age for believers. They now begin their week with the remembrance and celebration of Christ's salvation victory. And that's why the early church began to worship on the first day, not the last day of the week. And they began to call that day the Lord's Day, meaning the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That first day of the week is mentioned in several places in the New Testament. And I won't read them for you, but I'll mention where they can be found. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, and in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, and then Revelation 1, verse 10. And you can look up these verses if you can remember them by yourselves. They all indicate that on this day, we now rest from our labors and worship God to remember his saving acts. And in that way, we continue to observe the requirement of the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well, that leads us, secondly, this morning, congregation, to the observance of this commandment. How must we today then keep this Sabbath as a holy day? And well, to begin with, let me underscore a moment how very needed this commandment is today. Just as the rest of the commandments, of course, are also well needed, but the fourth commandment particularly, I think, faces so many strong challenges in our modern society and age. One of them, of course, is the increasing secularization of our society, in which God is increasingly denied or ignored, and the influence of Christianity, at least I think, is waning in our Western world particularly. And so, of course, this commandment means nothing really to those who do not have a place for God in their lives at all. Another force that we're continually battling is commercialism and greed. The days when all stores were closed on Sundays is long gone. The COVID-19 pandemic has shut down many businesses too in stores in these days. But I think that will no doubt by God's grace change soon when that threat ends. But in any case, commercial activity on Sundays is commonplace. Even, you know, I've heard Christian merchants use this reason. Well, I cannot compete if my store is not open on Sunday. But let's be clear that we still need a day of rest in our culture today. God is still correct. He is still wise when he says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You see, first of all, our bodies still need rest and renewal. That's why God first gave this commandment, that we might have rest for our bodies. And if we fail to do that, two things are going to happen. One is our priorities in life will become distorted. Work and earthly gain will become more important to us than spiritual values. Work will become an idol, as it has in the lives of many. And even though work is good, and it's even commanded by God in this commandment, as I noted a moment ago, 6 days you shall labor, it can also become an obsession in our lives, which means, in effect, that it can also become a god, which we live for, which becomes supreme in our lives and endeavors. But we need to get away from our work and leave it alone for a day, that we may know that work is not the most important thing in our lives. The Lord and His kingdom are more important. And the second thing that will result if we do not observe this commandment is that we will pay a physical and emotional price. Because we must have relief from the stresses and strains of life to function well. That's true for everybody. It's true for non-Christians. It's also true for us as Christians, of course. Did you notice that in the fourth commandment, God told the Israelites that not only they, but also their servants, their slaves, and even their animals had to be allowed to rest on the Sabbath day? You might ask yourself, why would animals need rest? Let me give you an example. In the coal mines of Pennsylvania, some years ago, they used mules to haul the coal cars. The owners who tried to use those mules 7 days a week soon found out that did not pay. If the mules stayed too long in the mines, they would lose their sight and they would go blind. And so for 1 day a week, the mules had to be allowed to graze in the pastures, in the sunlight, so their eyes could continue to function well. And the same could be said for other animals that perform work for man. They too need rest. And that holds true then for us as well. Even if your work is not physically demanding, your minds, your psyches, have to be given a time for rest. Those of you who work in offices or in various professions, you know that. I'm sure that for your mental, for your emotional well-being, you have to be able to get away from your tasks and duties on a regular basis. And Sundays give you that opportunity and blessing. God knows the needs of our bodies and minds. And now before I leave this particular point, I do understand, to be sure, that, and Christians have always understood this as well, that some work, of course, must continue on the Lord's Day. Work that involves our safety and our security. Work that is carried out in hospitals and nursing homes. Works of mercy. Another kind of work, like milking the cows. Those things must and may be done on the Lord's Day. And you see, that's where our Lord Jesus challenged the Pharisees of his day for their Sabbath regulations. Jesus was not against observing the Sabbath day, but it was their regulations, their little tiny laws which bothered him. We read two cases in our scripture lesson this morning from Matthew 12. In the first case, these disciples had been plucking some grain kernels on the Sabbath because they were hungry. And by the way, this was not unlawful to do. Read Deuteronomy 23, verse 25, and you'll know that the Jews were allowed to pluck some heads of grain or grapes from a field or for food, if they needed some food. But the Pharisees had made that act to be the equivalent of harvesting. And so they claimed, well, this was working. That was not to be done on the Sabbath day. However, Jesus criticized their picky interpretations. The Pharisees had indeed come up with thousands of them, do's and don'ts, that made Sabbath day observance a burden. Jesus told the Pharisees that the Sabbath day was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. He meant that it was for man's blessing that God gave this commandment. And then the second case of so-called Sabbath breaking Jesus was criticized for by the Pharisees that we read was the healing of a man with a withered hand in the synagogue. They deemed that also to be a forbidden task on the Sabbath day. In the response, Jesus said that certainly he and his followers can perform acts of mercy on the Sabbath day. If an animal fell into a pit, it was allowed to bring the animal out of the pit. We can certainly help persons then in special need. That does not violate the prescription forbidding work on the Lord's Day. But as I say this too, we do have to be careful now not to extend that to doing work that is not necessary on the Lord's Day, on Sundays. And that can put us into sometimes a difficult spot. I know that there are those who apply for a job which requires them to work on Sundays, and if they don't take it, then they have to work on that day. They won't be hired if they do not. Young people, I've heard, who look for a part-time job at a restaurant, maybe ask, well, will you work on Sunday? And if they say, well, I cannot work on Sunday, they won't get the job. Well, here we have to stand. We have to just take a stand for God's will, as tough as it may be. The law is on your side, to the best of my knowledge. Employers, I understand, may not discriminate against or fire persons who, for religious reasons, will not work on Sundays. What a blessing it actually is that we have a day when our bodies and our minds can rest from our daily work. However, not only is it a blessing for our bodies, for our physical life, it's also a blessing for our souls and spiritual life. Yes, we also need the Lord's Day, people of God, for our spiritual renewal and rest, so that our faith and our devotion to God may be renewed again through worship. Yes, that is the chief way, indeed, Scripture prescribes for us to obtain that rest on the Lord's Day through worship. Because the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What does it mean to keep that day holy? Well, the word holy in Scripture does not mean, first of all, perfect. But it means, first of all, to be separated from sin and to set it aside for consecration to God. We call Sunday a holy day because it is a day to be set aside, consecrated to God. Remember what Jesus said, it is the Lord's day. It's not our day, first of all, even though it is for our good, to be sure. But Jesus also said in Mark 2, verse 28, so the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. And therefore, our chief activity on this day, the way we must keep it holy, is by faithfully worshiping God on Sundays. That's even what our Lord Jesus himself did on the Sabbath day. His custom, says the Bible, was to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath. And he was the perfect Son of God. But he still went to worship the Lord on that day. That should be the central focus for God's people as well, to offer praise to him together. And the Heidelberg Catechism makes that point in Lord's Day 38. In answer to the question, what is God's will for us in the fourth commandment? It answers, first, that the gospel ministry and schools for it be maintained. That is, not for preparation for those who come to function in the gospel ministry. And then it continues in that, especially on the festive day of rest, I diligently attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to the Lord publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. So this is chiefly a day of worship. And we have the privilege here of doing that every single week. And not just once, but even twice. We can begin the day here in God's house. And we can, as it were, end the day here in God's house. And in between, we can have a restful day with our families. What more can we ask? God will fill us with his blessing and delight when we gather to worship him faithfully each Sunday again. Not to mention that he will strengthen our faith and renew our love for him. You know, there are Christians today in our world who would just jump for joy if they could just meet once, even once a month, to worship the Lord with fellow believers. But they're prevented from doing so by hostile forces. The French atheistic philosopher Voltaire once made the comment that two things, he said, will destroy Christianity. One, take away Christianity's book, the Bible. Take it away. The second, take away Christianity's day, the Sabbath. And in saying that, I think he was right. And so let's remember that this day is very special, a holy day. A day set aside for God, not a holiday, first of all. A day set aside only for our human enjoyment. And so whatever we do on this day must never diminish our focus on God and diminish our faithful worship of him. For God is, as we're put in the back seat, and pleasure and fun for ourselves is in the front seat. If that happens in your life, you are missing the boat. God has given us 6 days, to do our work and to do many other things that we like to do for our enjoyment. And in our current culture, we are able to enjoy many days for our own entertainment and enjoyment. Let's keep this day holy and for God's glory and praise. That's the whole point of this day. In fact, this is not the only holy day of the week. Every day must be a holy day, consecrated for God. I love the way the Catechism says it in Lord's Day 38, in the second paragraph for its answer. What is God's will for you in the fourth commandment? It says, second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways. Let the Lord work in me through his Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. The Lord's Day is designed to help us to live each day as a holy day for God. And thereby it also provides for us a foretaste of the eternal Sabbath, the eternal day or time that is coming. And we will live and we will worship and we will rest in God's presence forever in the new creation. All our life will be holy days. May I ask you in conclusion this morning, is this day for you, day of all the week the best, emblem of eternal rest? I hope there's not a question mark behind that phrase for you. I hope you will say this with an exclamation point. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you once again this morning that we could reflect for a while on your commandments and how good it is that we could consider this fourth commandment that you gave to your people so many centuries ago, which you indeed, O Lord God, by your act of creation, ordained for our blessing as a pattern for our lives to do our work and also to rest. Well, we thank you. We praise you for your wisdom, for that foundation that you've given to us. And therefore, we thank you for the fourth commandment today. Thank you for its call to remember this day, to keep it holy. May we ever do so, Lord. May we ever remember this is a day set aside for glorifying and honoring your name. For you are our God. You are our Savior. Thank you that we can again this morning celebrate your great love and salvation as we gathered here for worship. And we pray that you'll bless us throughout the remainder of this day, that it may be a day of blessing for us in our homes, with our families, or even if it be by ourselves, what may we enjoy a good day of rest, rejoicing in all your favor and blessings, so that we can return again to give you praise to God this afternoon. Lead and guide us, we pray, by your Spirit day by day, that each day we may live a holy life dedicated to your service. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.